You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Today we're in Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 33, starting in verse 14. My brothers and sisters, I myself am convinced about you that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Nevertheless, I have written to remind you more boldly on some points because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, serving as a priest to the gospel of God. God's purpose is that the Gentiles may be an acceptable offering, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to boast in Christ Jesus regarding what pertains to God. For I would not dare say anything except what Christ has accomplished through me by word and deed for the obedience of the Gentiles, by the power of miraculous signs and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit. As a result, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum. My aim is to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named, so that I will not build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. That is why I have been prevented many times from coming to you, but now I no longer have any work to do in these regions, and I have strongly desired for many years to come to you whenever I travel to Spain. For I hope to see you when I pass through and to be assisted by you for my journey there, once I have first enjoyed your company for a while. Right now I am traveling to Jerusalem to serve the saints, because Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased, and indeed are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual benefits, then they are obligated to minister to them in material needs. So when I have finished this and safely delivered the funds to them, I will visit you on the way to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my ministry to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed together with you. May the God of peace be with all of you. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may have a seat.
Good morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning. Today is Church Planting Sunday, which doesn't change much around here, but it just so happens that we do have one of our global church planting partners through Acts 29 here with us today, so that's pretty sweet. Church Planting Sunday is a day that Acts 29 churches around the world just kind of spotlight church planting and God's work in that. Acts 29 is an organization and a global network of churches bound together by relationship, legitimately, theology, and church planting. And so the mission of Acts 29 is to plant churches worldwide. Multiplying healthy churches is God's primary mission strategy for reaching the world. You probably hear us say that all of the time. And so just kind of some facts to spit your way. In 2025, Acts 29 churches celebrated over 11,000 new believers, and you guys are part of that. Some of you in this room are part of that number. Nearly 9,000 baptisms. Some of you in this room are part of that number from even last week when we celebrated baptisms. Currently, there are over 700 Acts 29 churches in 56 countries, and one of my favorite things, while there is local advantage and benefit, collaboration, and all those things, one of my favorite things about the network is the alignment globally. And so what that means is on any given Sunday, Acts 29 churches are worshiping in 32 languages, which is pretty sweet. I know when Brittany and Emmy went to Scotland last year. I can't see them, but I think they found an Acts 29 church in Scotland, and they were like, yeah, it's pretty much like this one. They just had stronger accents or whatever. And so that's just pretty cool. I love that so much. There are currently over 400 men in the X29 church planting pipeline, which has been something that the network has been working on over the last year to basically just not streamline for efficiency's sake, but just be very targeted to raising men up to plant churches. And so they say we are teaching to the test of assessment and church planting. And man, by God's grace, we would love to raise up men and women for that end. And all of this happens through prayer. You may have gotten one of these when you came in, and I was pushing them pretty hard. We have like 10,000 of these, so you may have gotten two of these, and that's okay. This is just a little helpful thing. I think that QR code's on the back of this. If you didn't get one of these, snag one of these. There's also another little pamphlet that has some more stats and some different stuff over on the table next to the Connect desk. Snag one of those. But if you use that QR code, it's basically just 30 days of prayer, and it's just targeted actual real-life humans that are planting churches around the world that we can pray for together. And so just want to encourage you to get involved that way. At this time, I want to welcome you. Good, Kim? Kim's giving him some final teaching, just instruction, coaching on the web. I want to welcome my friend. This is Mitch Munoz. You may notice you're like, I thought he would look different from Guatemala. And he's actually from Texas. They've been in, Amanda's from Florida. They've been in Guatemala for 14-ish years. That sound about right? You good?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah.
This is new for me, guys. Sorry.
They just, in Guatemala, they just yell.
Yeah.
And so it's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
This is my friend. I've known him for 6 years now. We've been on hundreds of hours of video calls and WhatsApp chats. And man, we spent a few days together in Texas at the X29 National Conference earlier in the week. And then I just brought him home with us, Mitch, Amanda, and their son, Lucas. We spent some awesome time trick-or-treating around the neighborhood. I think Lucas had a good time. He was riding a dinosaur. So there he is. Yeah, this is my friend. I'm super thankful for him. He's going to continue preaching through Romans chapter 15, and then I'll come back up in just a few minutes, and we'll do a little Q&A and get to know them a little better. Is that good?
Yeah.
It's all you, brother.
Yeah, that was most of my introduction, so sermon will be a little bit shorter.
Just disregard all that I just said.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's see. Okay. Man, this is pretty new for me. I haven't preached in a while, so this might be a little rusty, all right? But there might be some turbulence, you know, when we're up in the air in the sermon. I can't get that to stay still. But we will get through it, all right? So like Pastor Matt had said, my name is Mitch. This is my wife, Amanda. We've been married for about 14 years now. And little boy, Lucas, somewhere in here is 8 years old. We live in Guatemala. We've been there for about 12 years now. I'm really excited to be here. Like, it's a privilege to be able to be here and preach in English. Man, I haven't preached in a while, and I haven't preached in English in even longer than that. So this is going to be fun. So we're in Romans 15, and I just wanted to give us a little bit of structure real quick. So like the first 11 chapters in Romans, it talks about like what God has done for us in regards to salvation. And then the last 5 chapters talk about how we should live or respond to what he has done for us in salvation. And so it's the gospel of like not working towards being accepted, but knowing that we have been accepted by God in Christ. And so we obey what he's called us to do. And so one of the most powerful moments in my life was about 14, 15 years ago. I was a senior at the University of Arkansas. I was studying computer science. Had no plans at all to do anything in ministry. I felt like that was like for the really holy, like the super saints, you know what I mean? Like I was Christian, going to church, but like being called to ministry was just like not something I was ever remotely considering, you know? Like, Christian, but like that's for the really, really holy people, like, you know, pastors and all them. And I was reading through scripture in the book of Matthew 25, where it's this parable that talks about the sheep and the goats, right? And so it really quickly, Jesus says that one day he will gather all nations before his throne, right? Like everyone, old, young, rich, poor, black, white, everyone will be gathered before the throne, and they'll be separated into two separate camps. The sheep who have followed Jesus, who know him, and the goats, right? Those who have not followed Christ, and that they'll be eternally separated. And there was a voice in my mind, or just like me thinking, there was a, like me thinking to myself, like, do you believe this with all who you are? Like, not like, is scripture something that you agree with? Like, not is this just like some facts that you've always heard your entire life, but like with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, like with everything in you, like, do you believe that this is true and that what Christ has said will happen is going to be fulfilled? Man, and that question just haunted me in that moment, because as I look up and I see the title where it says Matthew, like, that's the name of my oldest brother who's not a believer, like, who does not know Jesus. And to think in that moment, do I believe with all of who I am that if my own brother doesn't come to know Christ, it'd be eternally separated? And the question just haunted me. Like, and so I just was like, nope, you know, close my Bible, got to go to class, you know. And I don't know if it ever happens to you, but like when you try not to think about something, you just think about it even more and more and more, you know. Like maybe you can get it out of your mind for like half an hour or so. Like I'm going to turn the music up a little bit louder. I'm going to kind of sing some songs or whatever. Then bam, you know, like out of nowhere, like the thought comes out. And I could not run away from this question, right? Like it just haunted me at night. Like, and so when I finally got to the point to where I was like, yes, Lord, like I believe with all of who I am, with all my heart and my mind and my soul, that your word is true and what is written will happen. Like if we come to that point, like we believe the scripture is true, then it has radical implications for our lives. Like we can't just read it and then nod our head and then act like nothing ever happened and live the same. Like if there is, if scripture is true, and I'd argue that it is, then we can't just act like this day isn't going to come, you know? And so when I made that decision in my mind, like, yes, I believe this is true, and I started thinking about eternity and all these different things, it just changed absolutely everything for me. I mean, I was like 2 weeks away from graduating from college. Like I had jobs lined up, like my dad was gonna come up to see my graduation and like kind of ask me about what my career was gonna look like and all these things. And I couldn't stop thinking about like eternity. Like I couldn't stop thinking about like not just how I wanna live this life and like maybe I'm gonna work for 40 years or whatever, retire and then enjoy that last part of my life. Like I was thinking about like what will happen to those who don't know Jesus. Like, what's going to happen to those who haven't heard the gospel, who haven't had an opportunity to give their lives to Christ? Like, that's all that mattered to me. And so my dad comes up to the University of Arkansas, and he's like, hey, so what are your plans after college? And my dad's not a believer, and so, like, you know that this conversation is going great, right? Like, thank you for paying for my 4 years of college. I just want to go tell people about Jesus. And my dad was like, you're crazy. Like, you are absolutely crazy. Like, you're going to waste the 4 years of your college, the 4 years of my money, and you're going to throw it all down the toilet, and you're just going to go overseas and tell people about Jesus and have to beg for money? Like, you have lost your mind. And I was like, obviously this is my dad because it's my dad, but like, in my mind, I was like, no, like, you're crazy. Like, you're absolutely crazy because, like, the Bible says, like, what we do here determines how we live there. Like, it's absolutely crazy that you want me to live this way to try to, like, worry about, am I going to be able to eat well when I'm older? Am I going to be able to travel, you know, when I'm older? When all of Scripture says that, like, for millions and millions and millions and millions of years, we'll be with Jesus or we'll be separated. And so, like, we have this one life. Like, we have this one life, this one chance, this one time to share the gospel and make Jesus known. And then after that, like, that's it. Like, we can't share the gospel in heaven, you know? Like it's missions is a temporary necessity, right? This is what Piper says. But he says, but worship is forever. And so if I was just broken for my dad and just saying, like, man, if we could only get, like, a heavenly mindset, like, if only we could, like, change how we think about things, if we wouldn't be just, like, I was trying to tell my dad, like, you don't need to be so concerned about everything in this life or everything right now or everything here when like, Scripture says that, like, what Paul says, what we're going to see in Romans is, like, Paul is like, I'm going to finish the race, all right? I'm not going to let anything distract me. I know it's hard. There's a lot of temptations in this, but I'm going to run towards Jesus, and I'm going to go for that crown. Like, I'm going to not be distracted. I'm going to run towards him, and I'm going to see my Savior one day face to face, and that's what I'm running towards. Like, that is where all my time and all my energy and all my resources are going to be spent, towards knowing him and making him known. And if my father couldn't come to accept Christ in that moment, then I was like, well, then I'll go somewhere else. And maybe someone else's dad will come to know Jesus. Like I will go and share with those who will listen. And I think that when we get to that point where we take Scripture at its word and believe it with all who we are, that it's going to have radical changes for how we live our lives. So one of the questions I was going to ask today is that we see set up in Romans 15 is, in light of the gospel, like in light of what Jesus has done, like what does a life that matters actually look like, right? What the Bible says is a life that matters, and what the world says is a life that matters are like completely different. Like they're two drastically different things, right? Of what success looks like over here and what success looks like according to Scripture. Right? I Googled some stuff because that's what I do to prepare for sermons. I'll give you an example. So Jim Carrey, yeah, like that Jim Carrey, you know, Dumb and Dumber, The Mask, anyone? So what he said was, if I can find it on my next page, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. And I was like, wow, like he's tapping into that ache. Like he's tapping into that truth that all the world's success can't satisfy a soul that was made for something else. Like we read about this in Ecclesiastes, that God has sown eternity in the hearts of men. And so he's trying to fill that with fame, with success, with wealth, with whatever it may be, with comforts. And he still feels empty inside. So we see what Paul, his answer to this question in Romans 15 to show us how to live a life with purpose. And I'm not going to tease out every single thing in this passage, but he lived with a clear sense of purpose. Like Paul knew what he was called to do. Like he knew what he was going to do. We can see that his confidence and his assurance of his calling, like even prevented him from enabled him to say no to some things. Like we see in the passage where he said, like, I wanted to go visit you, but I wasn't able to. Like, because he knew what God had called him to do, he was able to say no to some good things and just focus on what it was that God had called him to do. And so I was like, if we could be anchored in that, like, wouldn't that be incredible? It's like to live with that kind of focus, like to know that God's called you to do this and you're able to make decisions out of that conviction instead of out of confusion. And so the anchor for this will be in verse 20 and 21. That's like the heartbeat of Paul's life, like and really the heartbeat of God's people, that Jesus would be known and trusted and treasured among the nations. Like that's the purpose that of God's people. That we would love Jesus and make him known, trusted and treasured, both near and far. And so when we've seen, and let's look at verse 14 where it says, you know, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are all full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. And then he goes down further in verse 15. Yeah, I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul, he's dreaming of a church that where disciples are making disciples. Like, he's sold out to the gospel, and he's, like, no one just like wakes up and is like, you know what I'm going to do today? Like, I'm going to go share the gospel to a bunch of barbarians that might kill me. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't happen, all right? But he has this sense that, like, if Jesus really rose from the grave, like, if, then this kind of life makes sense. Like, if the resurrection is real, then risking your comfort and your safety and your plans, like, that's not crazy. Like, that's just called faithfulness. And that's what we see from Paul. We see that the motor that drives Paul is love. It's love for God. It's love for people. We even see him say earlier in Romans that he'd trade his salvation if it meant that others would come to know Christ. I mean, like, that is a crazy, like, insane love. Like, that's staggering. Like the only way that you could say that is if you've been, like, completely undone, like, by God's grace. Like, to long for someone else's salvation so greatly, like, that you'd be willing to be eternally separated from the God you love. I mean, like, that is a staggering love that Paul has. But it's the motor that pushes him to do what God's called him to do. And so we see, like, what the world has called winning and what the Bible calls winning, man, they're completely different. We've seen that, like, the gospel, it flips the script, it rewrites the story. Man, it just wrecks absolutely everything. And it has those radical implications for the way that we live our lives. And if we look in verse 17, it points out, it says, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. And so, as I said, I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this best. He says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So, like, faith is not just saying, like, I believe Jesus died for me. It's saying, like, I will die with him. Tim Keller once said that most people want a God who will strengthen their agenda, not a God who will shatter it. But the gospel doesn't come to decorate your life. It comes to rebuild it. The one thing I really wanted to focus in this passage is how many times Paul says, like the grace given to me, or my offering, or like my work, or my aim, and just really showing how really clear Paul is about his purpose. Like, to personally take the gospel to people who had never heard it. And while that is Paul's particular calling, and it's not our calling, to go to the Gentiles, like, what I want us to focus on is he was so assured that of how the gospel, how he understood that the gospel can give us the assurance to know what it is that God wants us to do. And so if we look at verse 22 and 23, in verse 22 and 23, it says, where did I find it? 21. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be found, that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. This is what I was trying to say, you know, earlier, that Paul had the confidence to say no to opportunities because he was sure of what God wanted him to do and his calling. And I think this is something that we'd all want, right? A clear sense of purpose that would help us make decisions. And so we can understand what our purpose is in this world by understanding what God's purpose is for the world. Because Paul grounds his understanding for his purpose in what God has said in Scripture. So, like, Paul, when he says, I don't want to build on anyone else's foundation, the purpose he gives for that in verse 21 is actually a verse. So, like, Paul's like, I want to go share the gospel with others, and it's the reason why is Scripture. Like, he doesn't use his Damascus experience. Like, I was thinking that, like, he'd probably use something like that. But, you know, Paul's aware that not all of us are going to have, like, a Damascus-like experience, but all of us have Scripture. Like, all of us have Scripture to move us to make Jesus known in other places. And so the ultimate goal of God in all things, in all redemption and history, is that he would be praised among the nations. Like, that's the purpose behind the universe. It's the glory of God in all things. We see this in Psalms 117, where they say, praise the Lord, O you nations, extol him, all you people, for great is his love towards us, and his faithfulness endures forever. Like, this is the purpose of God. Like, this is the purpose of God for the nations, that they would praise him, that they would know him, that he'd be glorified. And we have a role in that, like to go and make him known, either where you're at or going overseas and making him known far away. But this is what history is moving towards. Like, and Piper says that missions exist because worship doesn't, because there's still places on this planet where Christ is not known, where his worth is not seen, where his name is not yet praised. And so that's why we go. And that's what Paul understood, and that's what grounded him in his purposes and in his mission. And so we know that, like, this hasn't changed. Like, the Great Commission is still binding on us today. Like, this is why we still talk about unreached people groups, because there's still people and nations that don't know who Jesus is, right? And so we have a role in that. We have a call in that to make him known. It's not about, like, saying, hey, God, like, how can you fit in my agenda? But turning the question around and saying, like, I realize that God is doing something greater than me. I realize that God has a purpose in the world, and he's moving, and how can I be a part of it? Like, not like, what do you want to do when you're older, but like, how can whatever I'm doing be plugged into what God has planned for the world? So if that's local, then like you can be a missionary local. Like, you can make Christ known in your family, in your school, in your work, like in Hamilton, Ohio. Like, I'm sure there's people in Hamilton, Ohio that don't know Jesus, that are eternally separated from him, that want to know him. And God has you where you are so that you can share the gospel with them and give them the opportunity to accept Christ and be with him forever. If I can go back and relate this to that parable that first moved me, is when you read the parable about the sheep and the goats, like, the beauty of that passage is that it hasn't happened yet. You know, like, I know that day is coming, but it hasn't happened yet. So there's still this hope of, well, maybe my brother will accept Christ. Well, maybe my dad will accept Christ. Or maybe this person will accept Christ. So there's still hope while we're alive to share the gospel. Like, it's God's plan to change the world is to use his body. It's to use you. It's to use me, right, to make him known. And so, like, maybe you're like me, where when God first called me to do missions, I was like, God, like, I'm a computer science major. You know, software engineers were normally pretty socially awkward anyway. Like I don't know. Like, I don't have a seminary degree. You want me to stand up and talk in front of people? I feel much better behind a computer screen, all right? Like, but, like, it was knowing that, like, but I'll go. Like, if you want to use me, like, I'll go. You know, like, I don't know, like, what I'm going to say, but if you give me the words to say, I'll say them. You know, like, I don't know if you can use me, but if you're willing to use me, like, I'm available. And so it was that prayer of depending on God in these situations. Like, we know that we're called to make Jesus famous, but at the same time, like, that doesn't make it any less scary. Like, that doesn't make it any less, like, nerve-wracking. It doesn't make it any less difficult. Like, it's still depending on God in those moments to make him famous and known where he's not. And that's God's desire, obviously, for the nations. There's two other verses that were really helpful to me when I was, like, first thinking about moving overseas. And one was Proverbs 24:11. It says, like, rescue those rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards the slaughter. And then the other one was Daniel, it's in Daniel 12, where it says, like, multitudes of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. But those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And so I was like, man, I just want to shine like that. You know, people might not understand me when I speak, but, like, I want to shine like that. And God, if you can use me, like I'm here. And so there was this understanding of what Scripture has called us to do, what God's purpose is in the world, and then just an honest prayer of, like, how can I be a part of it? And so when we look at this verse where I don't know where it is. I lost it. Sorry, guys. All right. Paul says that he doesn't want to build on any other foundation, right, than the one that's already laid. And that's what it means to live with purpose, like to depend completely on him. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot retain water." And that's the story of the human heart. Like, we're thirsty, and instead of drinking from the living water, we start digging our own wells. We turn to addiction, to religion, to relationships, success, and money, comfort, control, anything that promises satisfaction but can't deliver. Timothy Keller says, "An idol is anything that has become so central to your life that you can't imagine being happy without it." Piper says, "It's like this: sin is what you do when your heart is not satisfied with God." And so we tend to build our identity on these false gospels and then wonder why we're still dry. But the gospel calls us to come back to Christ, to repent of our sins, to realize that he is the only one that will actually ever satisfy us. And then through that, we can make him known to others. Timothy Keller says, "You can't reason your way out of loving your idols. You must replace them by being captured by something better, by seeing and savoring the beauty of Christ. And when you get a glimpse of his holiness, his beauty, his glory, everything else fades, and all the idols lose their shine." And so living with no other foundation means, like, if I lose everything but Christ, but still have Christ, then I haven't lost anything. Right? The call of the gospel isn't try harder, it's trust deeper. Depend on the one who is living water. What I wanted to have some, like, call to actions, or like some applications, right? One of the ones was I wanted to encourage us to find our worth in Christ alone, right? So if you're a believer, this is like a daily struggle. Like, if you're anything like me, like, it's a daily struggle. Like, I feel like I wake up and it's like, bam, like, I'm at war, you know? Like, I want to love Jesus with all who I am, but it's so hard sometimes. Like, I don't know if y'all, like, I love that hymn, Come Thy Fount, you know, where it says, "Prone to wonder, like, prone to leave the God I love." Like, is that real for anyone else but me? Like, where I feel like this is like just a struggle, but it says, "But take my heart, like, take and seal it for thy courts above." I don't sing at all, but anyway. Like, that's just what, it's a struggle for me, but like, man, I want to finish well. Like, I want to have my eyes fixated on Jesus. I don't want to be distracted. Like, I want that crown. Like, I want to go and run with him with all of who I am. Like, I tend to be all in or all out, you know? So it's like, we're going to do this Christianity thing. Like, man, we're going to play ball. Like, I'm going to get all in, and I'm going to give him everything I have. Like, and whether it's hard, and some days, like, I feel like David in the Psalms, like, I feel like I'm a schizophrenic, you know? Like one day I'm super high, the next day I'm really low. Like, one day I'm like, God, like you're like, there's nowhere I can flee from your presence. And then, like, the next day I'm like, you have completely forgotten about me. Like, where are you? You know? But it's just this walk with Jesus that's daily trying to find my worth in him, trying to remind myself as a Christian that he is all that's worth living for, like, and repenting of my sins and going after him and keep going to that fount of living of water. And so I wanted to remind us as believers to continually go back to the gospel and find that in him. And the other one was, you know, realize that, like, as Christians, man, we're missionaries everywhere, right? Like, we got to share the gospel wherever you're at. Like, if it's here in Hamilton, Ohio, or if God's leading to take you to the nations, like it's our call to make him known. And so with that, I just wanted to encourage you to get involved with it could be serving in the Village Church, or it could be going on a global mission trip, whatever it may be. But let's go ahead and let's partner together in prayer for the gospel and for preaching of the gospel. And I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. God, I want to thank you for who you are, for this time. I pray that you would draw us closer to you, and you'd help us to love you more and to make you known where you're not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So at this time, there's going to be a little bit of furniture moving We're going to transition to me just peppering Mitch and Amanda with some questions. So thanks for that, brother. Sweet. You good? Hard part's over, Mitch.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
you're
good. Sorry. Y'all deal with me a little bit longer.
Man, thanks for that. For real, we love and appreciate you guys, and I think many people in this room know you, even though you don't know most of the people in the room. So, so there have been a ton of changes in your missionary journey recently, I think. But let's start by looking at a bit of a window into the past. So I know that you could talk endlessly about it, but could you give us a bit of a snippet of the arc from you getting to Guatemala to your kind of handing off primary leadership to Cayetano and some of the others?
Yeah, so we moved to Guatemala and we're sharing the gospel with unbelievers, and then there's a guy named Cayetano who accepts Christ. And we just start to disciple him and appoint him as a local elder with time and plant a church. And then we step out, and now we're looking to do it all over again.
It's just that easy.
That's it was good. A lot more difficult than that.
I know I've been a part of that journey in knowing Cayetano and others, and again, many in the room have seen that. Like the first time we went down there, there was just a slab of concrete and a couple pillars and barely a roof. And then now it's a little more complicated. More people feed a bunch of kids every time the church gathers, and lots of other things. Anything you want to add in to just any of that stuff to kind of the status of things right now in Los Chelitos?
Yeah, it's great. Like you said, the church has a like child sponsorship feeding program, which is neat because through churches in the States, we've been able to empower the local church to meet the needs of its community, which is awesome. So the local church wouldn't be able to do a lot of the neighboring evangelism or meet a lot of the local needs that we could in the States if we wanted to do it. And so having that partnership where we're able to, it's like a steroid shot or something to the local church, they're able to meet a lot more needs than they could have without that global partnerships.
Awesome. Amanda, what were the particular challenges or wins for you in that? I mean, we're really talking about like a 10-year period, but sum it up in 30 seconds. You know what I mean? And I know you're still involved there, so it's not like that we're not connected to Los Chelitos any longer, but the particular challenges or wins for you during that time?
I think just seeing God raise up local leaders. When we moved down there, we didn't really know what we were doing or what the plan was going to be or what was going to happen. And so to see how God has taken somebody that, like Cayetano, and used him to become a local pastor and to lead that church has been really cool. And now it's like, our position, it feels like almost handing the keys over to your teenager and saying, okay, now it's your turn. And like, we just have to step back and watch them make mistakes and watch them grow and watch them drive the car.
That's a little on the nose. That's tough. Yeah, that is tough. Titus in Ireland, that's a tough thing to do. So as I said, many in this room know you, but many don't. Anyone who's gone on a trip with us down to Guatemala have already met these people. They're old news, but it is cool being in the room with many people that have experienced your context, and so it's been great to have you in our context. You know, we push week after week through the scriptures to be a church that's called to make Christ known, and we do that through going local and through going global, and you guys and your story, I mean, hopefully you saw like the little global wall over there, the pictures that scroll, Tammy's work as a deacon of Global Go, like all that has shaped us to have a bigger vision for the gospel and for this world. Can you help us see the impact of global partner churches, maybe even like this one here, on the ministry that you've been doing for, you know, a decade plus in Guatemala?
Yeah. So I don't know of like a career missionary who is a career missionary because they didn't go like on a 1-week mission trip at some point, you know? And so I went when I was like 15 and a long, you know, at a church, and that was like super impactful in my life. And then I kept going later on, and yeah. So just even being able to go on a trip will change, like, to see the global church, and it'll change your perspective. And then it helps us as a local church, like I said, because it's sometimes it feels like you're like understaffed or overworked, you know. And like when a group comes, you know, you get like a lot more help.
That's great. Anybody else feel understaffed or overworked? Anybody else that just in Guatemala? Amanda, anything to add to that?
Yeah, it's been really neat to have, especially the women's ministry here, be so involved with our women's ministry and providing Bible studies and like the relationships too. Like our women, like they know Tammy. Like it's just cool to have those relationships and like have the people there know about you guys and be connected in that way through different ministries.
Super cool. So you have been transitioning a bit from your role serving and leading in Los Cholitos to being part of planting a church in Barbarena. And for those of you who have been there before, Barbarena is the part of town that they live in. Can you just catch us up to speed on that transition and kind of what's going on now?
Yeah, round two.
Yeah.
Well, this time, yeah. So we, like I said, in our neighborhood, now we have Ginder and Noemi. They've moved to our neighborhood, and then another girl named Erin. And y'all are like, who's Erin? Y'all won't know Erin. Sorry, that was, anyway. But yeah, now we have like a team, and we're sharing the gospel and helping to make disciples and appoint local leaders and so they can evangelize their own networks and plant the church.
Yeah. Anything? What are your kind of current needs, even on the ground there, or ways that we can come alongside you guys in that endeavor?
Probably through prayer, just kind of like echoing even the scripture from today, like partnering together through prayer for each other's ministries. And I think that any type of ministry is going to require a lot of prayer, and so I think that's the main thing, is just being mindful of, you know, what God's doing and trusting him, but, you know, praying for one another in that.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you want us to know? You have our undivided attention. Anything that you want the people in this room to know? Okay, that's fair. Any other thing other than prayer, any way that we can care? I think that QR code will get to the kind of the landing page for contribution. So if you guys want to give to the ministry, we kind of call it the ministry pot. So Ginder and Noemi are right down the road from Mitch and Amanda, and then Erin, who Mitch said is just some other person from another church that's down there. So she's a local mission, or she's a missionary from what state is she in?
Pennsylvania.
And so she's down there in a similar way that Caitlin Clark is going to be going to Spain and just, like, I don't know, spending 9 months there, a year there. So that's kind of what Aaron's doing. So that's their team on the ground. So you can kind of contribute to that pot that empowers the mission there in Barbarena for the new church plant by that QR code. Anything else?
We're just super thankful for y'all as a church and for your partnership and for the relationships that we've made. So thank you.
Awesome. We're so glad for you to finally come and, you know, see our neck of the woods for once. Just real quick, when I reached out in 2019, or maybe it was even 18, I reached out to Acts 29, I think it was Latin America or Central America or whatever, and like, hey, is there any global partner that we could connect with or a church plant that we can connect with? And they're like, there's this guy, Mitch. He's like roaming around the woods somewhere. And, right. You know, like, you should talk to him. And so I just think of where things have been since even, like, I remember the first video call was with, like, Mitch and Caetano and maybe somebody else. And I just remember, like, it feels a little awkward for me, probably awkward for them. We don't speak the same language. And it was really sweet and just, man, to know I legitimately love these people with my whole heart, and I know many in the room do as well. So thank you so much So we're going to transition to kind of normal in a way. There'll be some reflection questions on the screen as the band comes up in just a minute. We're going to take communion just like we normally do. So if you're in Christ, this is an opportunity for you to respond to take of the bread and the cup in remembrance of Christ's body and blood that was broken for you. If you're not in him, this is not for you, but we are for you. And so we'd love to chat with you. There will be a few people over that way that would love to pray with you. There's a prayer bench over there where you can pray by yourself. If you just want some space, you can stand up and sing with the band. And then at the end of gathering, Scott will probably say this, but he's got 10 million announcements. Otherwise, Mitch and Amanda will be in the huddle room hanging out. So if you just want to pop in there and ask a few questions or get to know them, then just want to make that possible. Tammy, would you come up and pray for them?